Shark Dropper is brought to you by Audible.com. Audible has over 180,000 spoken word audiobooks and audio podcasts, I guess, for you to download for your MP3 player, your iPod, anything you want. If you just go to audibletrial.com/shark, you can get yourself a free audiobook download and, guess what, a 30-day free trial. That's right. All you have to do is go to audibletrial.com/shark, check that shit out, get a free audiobook and a 30-day free trial. Why? Because we love you and you love us. There you go.
Sorry.
Ow. Hi, folks in the podcast.
Lance. High five.
High five. Everybody put your earphones on your hand and then
just hit it.
Yeah. High five. Welcome to Shark Dropper. I am Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
We're sitting in a nice candlelit room. There's the like soft sounds of rain pitter-pattering on the tin roofs
the
outside.
The open window.
Open window. It is fall in Florida.
Yeah, so it's raining.
It's raining.
Yeah, like summer and like winter and like spring.
Rainy and hot, like
it's
every fall.
Yeah, it's rainy and hot.
Yeah, I love Florida.
The perfect fall.
The two seasons we get.
Yeah, I can't go somewhere without these kind of seasons, without seasons.
Yeah. I love the rainy season, and then I love the really, really, really hot season.
Mm. Yeah.
Those are my two favorites.
I like the
state.
Yeah, I am.
I like the humid season.
Perfect state of mind.
And I like the drizzle season.
Oh, you like drizzle season?
Yeah, the drizzle humid.
Well, it's a good thing that the humid season is year-round, and the drizzle season just kind of overlaps that.
That's true. So, it kind of overlaps the rainy season.
It's nice.
Yeah.
And you get your week of winter.
Yeah, that 1 week of winter when it's a biting 72.
Or we have to put on a jacket.
I gotta go deep in the closet to pull out the hoodie.
I gotta find long socks. Put them right onto my feet, and then put my sandals on.
I have to buy
on.
Long socks because I throw them out. I burn them.
You burn them every year.
Every year.
You haven't learned that.
It's tradition.
There's going to be a week where it's kind of cold.
Nah.
Once that week is over,
I'm so glad it's over. I'm like, fuck these socks. I'm burning them. I'm never using them again.
Dude, I didn't. Right. I honestly
at least
didn't.
Until next year.
I didn't buy a jacket for the first time. I think it was like 2 years ago. It was the first time I bought a jacket.
An actual jacket.
I had a hoodie, but I never had like a jacket.
Yeah.
And I only bought the jacket because I went on that trip to Alaska.
Like, it's just, to be honest, you don't need a jacket when you live in Florida.
No.
You don't.
It's just.
But I see people with jackets. They're just trying to be cool.
Yeah, trying to dress up. Yeah. I got a couple of jackets.
I noticed girls like the winter because they like to dress up like in like the layered clothing and stuff.
Oh, now snow boots.
Yeah.
Snow boots.
Yeah, we definitely need snow boots.
No, that's something I saw a lot. Like living in Tallahassee, like the college girls, like every time like a. The wetter would just like go a few degrees colder. Oh, I'll go to snow boots.
Yeah.
Also, when it was raining, the rain boots always came out too.
Yeah. Well, that makes a little more sense.
But yeah, the snow boots are the worst. Like the little fuzz with the little fuzz on them. And
yeah. It's like really, who are you? You're still in Florida.
I think they should just make classy galoshes.
Galoshes.
Galoshes. Why not wear those anymore?
Galoshes.
Does anybody wear galoshes anymore?
What are galoshes again?
Fishermen.
Like, yeah. Like
fishermen wear them?
Fishermen kind of long shoes.
What are the shoes that look like? They look like tennis shoes. It's like you wear them in the snow. Do you know what I'm talking? Snow shoes?
Snow tennis shoes?
Snow shoes?
Oh, Uggs. That's what they're called. That's right. Uggs. That's all the Uggs come out. Yeah. No, I mean, no, I'm saying for the ladies.
Oh, okay.
They get to wear their Uggs when it's a few degrees colder.
Hmm. It gives them a few inches, too.
Uggs and pumpkin spice lattes. Girls are so crazy.
What?
I feel like I don't have any wetter-specific clothes.
Me either. I wear the same thing I wear in the summer as I do in the winter.
I know.
You don't really,
T-shirt
you really don't.
And gym shorts.
Nah, I got a couple pair of jeans and then, like, a few hoodies. And
well,
like
jeans aren't wetter-specific. That's, like, a year-round.
That's true.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I really
have like a hoodie. I'll wear like a hoodie.
You can make a hoodie year round if you wanted to.
You can wear it at night. Yeah. Oh, people, yeah.
Fucking weird, creepy dudes walking around in hoodies. It's like 70, or it's like 90 degrees.
All right. All right. Slow down there, George Zimmerman.
Hey, did you see? I don't know if it's true, but the rumor was he tweeted out a picture of Trayvon Martin's body.
No, the fuck way.
I don't know if it's true, but it was like trending on
what
Facebook and Twitter and stuff. So I don't know if it's
true.
Well,
I mean, the fact that he's a douchebag isn't a surprise at this point. I didn't hear that.
Yeah, why is he doing all these douchebag...
Because didn't he get arrested again after
Listen, this is the perfect time to lay low and hope everyone forgets about this shit. Because you're a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
He tweeted that picture.
Did he really tweet it? Yeah. But is it
he didn't.
It was hard for me to believe, but then I saw it like in the Facebook news feed, and some people were talking about it, but I don't know if it's true or if it's just a rumor.
It's like O.J. Simpson tweeting out a picture of his wife's body.
Yeah.
It's just like,
I'm
really?
Still looking
but
for the guy.
Really? Didn't O.J. write book,
If I Did It? He retweeted a photo of... Trayvon Martin's dead body.
Oh, that's completely different story.
Different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Never mind. Sorry to bring that up, guys.
Yeah.
Wait, the caption was the Z-Man is a one-man army.
Oh, man.
God damn it.
One-man army to take
out. And that's the problem is why would you do that? Why are you trying to draw attention to yourself?
Why would you be on Twitter?
Why is he not in witness protection hiding somewhere?
Yeah,
right
why is
now?
He going? He should be going by his middle name, never using Zimmerman.
No, yeah. He's going to get shot.
I'd be growing out a full beard,
I wouldn't feel
long
bad.
Hair. I'd lose some weight.
If he gets shot, I'm not going to feel bad about it.
No,
he's being an idiot. Yeah. He got off, goes away, moves away. Just disappear. Be in the limelight.
Who's the lady? I think he's still in Florida, right?
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah. I think so. But who's the lady that got off on murder for her murder?
Casey Anthony.
She's gone.
Yeah, she's gone.
She's the right way.
She's not tweeting little pictures of kids and shit now. She's done. I haven't heard her. I think somebody spotted her at a Walmart sometime.
I mean,
in different hair.
Not for nothing. I mean, at least she just did not try to capitalize on her fame or make a Twitter account. She's like, okay, I'll disappear. Thanks for letting me kill my kid.
Yeah, thanks for letting me get away. With that, I'm out.
Yeah,
it was weird. Those two things happened pretty close together. I remember everybody talking about that.
Speaking
the Zimmerman and then that. But yeah, O.J. Simpson wrote. What, didn't he write that?
If I did it.
Yeah.
And then he wrote.
I just don't understand people. It just doesn't make any sense. That makes no sense.
Well, O.J. Simpson is currently in jail, right? For some unrelated shit that he did.
I think for some assault charges and some.
Did he try to stab some
robbery charges? He's like, look, okay, that I did.
Let me write a book if I didn't do it, and then tell you how it would be.
But did you see the book? If I Did It, it's the estate of the Goldman estate got a hold of it because of the civil trial, and this is how the title of it looks. Big bold letters, red, black. Wow. I did it.
Oh shit.
Oh, wow.
And then it just says "if" in tiny letters in the eye.
Oh my god!
Oh man,
that's how the Goldman estate did it.
Nice.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't it doesn't give him a full payback, but it's something, I guess.
But it's I don't know. It's just the whole situation.
Why
people just want to capitalize on that stuff, but it's. I'm just surprised, people, when they do that kind of thing, how are they still alive?
Well, I mean, does it happen all that often?
No, it doesn't happen that often. When you have George Zimmerman doing the retweets and, being in trouble with the law again and again, you would just think, I mean, maybe he's just not right in the head, obviously, but you would think that he wants to lay low and have everybody forget about that, especially when race is such a hot topic right now. With all the different things going on.
Did you see this? There was a couple that robbed a bank, and right after they put photos of them with huge wads of money on Facebook. And that's how the cops got them.
Nice.
But the best part is that the guy that did the bank robber, he went through the trouble of covering his tattoo. He has facial tattoos, so he covered them up. With makeup and put long sleeves on so they couldn't identify him by his tattoos. And then he goes and puts all the shit on social media.
Oh, man.
I feel like a lot of people don't realize that social media can be easily seen by your employees, your bosses, like just everybody. Anybody can see it. Like, I just don't understand. I remember seeing in the newspaper when the guy robbed a convenience store and he had like a tattoo of Florida underneath his eye. And like
Florida representing again,
but they caught him in like I think it was less than a day. they found him.
Wasn't there one where the guy like he robbed this store or did some kind of he committed a crime, but he had like a map of like he had a picture of his house like tattooed on him or like really? A map to his house, something ridiculous like that.
It's like his address,
yeah.
Address, his blood type, his social security number.
He's like waving to the camera, showing it plainly.
His five best friends, frequented locations.
They're like saying his name repeatedly. Hey, Timmy, let's get this out of here. Tim Spangs. Come on. That'd be funny.
I'm sorry. Snake.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Snake. The aliases. Because we're not. He's not Timmy. Snake.
Snake. Yeah.
Snake.
Forget that.
That was such a cool name you came up with, Timmy.
How did you do that?
I don't know. There's a lot of dumb people out there.
I love dumb people.
I love hearing about those stories. But, like, okay, I was thinking about this the other day. How many people get away with stuff?
Oh yeah,
like
a ton.
Let's get it down to just murder. Like, how many people get away with murder?
All right, so this is topical for me because I watched Black Mass over the
that's good.
That's true.
I thought you were taking a completely different route.
Black Mass is based off the true story of Whitey Bulger in South Boston, the crime lord.
Yeah,
and so I watched the movie and then I went back and I like read up on Whitey Bulger and it's just like. As long as there's no witnesses and you don't do anything stupid, like, you know, leave evidence at the scene of the crime, you're pretty much good. You can pretty much kill somebody.
I think the biggest thing is not having any relations to the person.
That too, yeah.
Because when you have relations to the person, that's who they go after first. They ask the husband, the father, the mother. Like, they ask relatives of the and friends of the family. That's usually who it is.
I think another thing to consider is that shows like CSI, you know, and CSI Miami, CSI New York. Anyway. But yeah, they just kind of like... It skews your perception of how, like, real-life murder cases work.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, yeah, like, these forensics teams, they have basically the same tools, but it's a much slower process.
Well, they even say, like...
Even less certain results.
But, like, with the fingerprint machine, like, they'll put a fingerprint into, like, a computer on TV, and, like... Ding! Here's your bad guy.
They gotta send those samples out to a lab, usually in, like, Virginia or someplace like that.
And a lot of times, they're only checking against people who have had their fingerprints taken, like, if they've been arrested before. Yeah. Not everybody has their fingerprints on file.
Oh, no. And TV gets it wrong in that it's like, okay, it looks like it's all done in-house right there. But, like, no, they're sending enough to labs. It takes,
hundreds
of thousands of dollars, you know.
They're waiting a long time for it. Yeah, it's not easy. But I just wonder because, like, usually it is somebody who's related to the person.
Yeah.
That's why, like, I think serial killers get away with a lot of it because they can kill multiple people because they're not specifically targeting a certain person or anything.
It's just the serial killers that get caught are usually, like, the ones that, like, they have a tendency, like, who want to get caught.
Yeah.
Like, a Zodiac killer, will leave, like...
Oh, well, he wrote letters to the newspaper.
They want to be recognized for their work, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But even some of them, like, dude... I had a book on serial killers, and one of them was Jeffrey Dahmer, where they were talking about he, like, they could have caught him
so many times.
And, like, one of the times he was carrying somebody he tortured, the guy got out of the house and fell down, like, some stairs or something like that, was running away from the building. Jeffrey Dahmer caught up to him, grabbed him, started taking him back. The cop showed up, and Dahmer, like, made up an excuse of why he was with this person, and the cop's like, let it go.
I forget what he had already done, but, like, the guy was already drugged, and, like, he was babbling, and, like, apparently Dahmer was just, like, a really, like, nice, personable guy, like, very friendly.
So was Bundy. Ted Bundy. He was the same way. He was, like, a counselor for people.
He's a clown.
Ted Bundy was he was a counselor. Like, people used to call him when they were, like, going to commit suicide and things like that, and he talked them through it.
Fucking God.
That's fucking weird.
When you read up on those people, it makes you sick. You're like, fuck. How?
The creepiest one, I think.
The creepiest ones are the ones that are normal.
Well, you know? Ed Gein,
yeah,
who lived in Wisconsin.
Yeah, he like, wrote the letters.
No, right? No. He was the one that they based kind of Psycho and the Texas Chainsaw Massacre after, because he would he actually only killed like so many people that they could prove, like only like two or three.
Yeah.
But he used to go to like the graveyard and dig up like bones and stuff, and he would make like soup bowls.
Oh, right.
And
he'd
things
make, yeah,
out of
true.
Out of bones. And I think somebody. There's like an instance where I guess he wore his mother's skin, like after she died, he wore her skin, went out to a graveyard and just like danced and howled at the moon, like it was like a full moon or something.
All right.
Like you would do. Yeah.
I just imagine like walking by that graveyard at night and just seeing a guy wearing somebody else's skin howling at the moon, and I would probably like piss myself.
Yeah, I'd be like
I'd run forever.
You ever hear of Albert
Wait,
Fish?
You wouldn't just join in and dance? Hey, buddy, what's going on?
Hey, man.
You got a dance party? Hey.
I think this was the guy who he looked after.
Oh, yeah, that guy was weird.
Yeah, he wrote like a letter to his victim's mom.
To Albert Fish.
About how he raped and like murdered then ate her daughter.
Dude, that's gross.
Yeah.
That's the guy, I think, also, who would... He would stick needles into his pelvic region.
Oh, yes!
And he would just shove them in there. He would just... Like, right above his penis, he would just shove,
People
like...
People are fucked up! People are so fucked up!
It's so weird, man.
What is it... What was it... Okay, early life. What was his life like? Suffered from... Uncle suffered from mania. Oh, there you go.
But it's just, like, a screw loose. It's, like, a weird, like, just thing that, like, doesn't click in their mind that it's... wrong or immoral and shit, and they just go nuts.
I think they have I guess they just don't have that thing, because like inside of me, like I can't imagine like ever, like I don't want to like stick myself with a needle or,
yeah,
like,
I can't imagine the pain,
yeah, or do like anybody else that.
Yeah,
what's the term, psychopaths, like, yeah, they just have like no regard for society, like, or like just normal,
I forget what it was.
Yeah, but I feel like there's a patterns. Lot of people who are like
there's
that.
There's also sociopaths.
Sociopaths
yeah. are even more dangerous, in my opinion.
I think my favorite story, though, was when Ted Bundy, I guess, was 4 years old. His aunt was watching over him, and he, I don't know if I told this before, but he went into the bedroom where his aunt was staying, like, while she was babysitting, and he lifted up the blanket that she was, like, under, and he was just, like, sliding knives, like, underneath the blanket and, like, smiling at her the whole time. And, like, she woke up to see him. He wasn't stabbing her or anything. He was just putting, like knives underneath the covers.
Lovely.
Like, at 4 years old.
Lovely. Like, oh, God.
At that moment, I think I would call somebody.
Jesus, fuck. Yeah.
There's somebody you got to tell. Like, that's not a normal thing, right?
Oh, man.
I mean, I've done some stupid things as a kid, but...
Really?
Not...
Yeah, there were like sporks that you were sliding.
Yeah, I was like, Mom. Sporks. It was more of just a mess. I mean,
yeah.
It wasn't really like harmful or anything like that. But right. To this
still
day,
weird, actually.
I still get excited about sporks.
Yeah.
Fuck. My favorite utensil.
It's two utensils combined in one.
Fucking
that's why it's great. Awesome. They need a spork knife. I didn't really like combine that great.
Spork knife.
I do believe they have one of those.
Yeah, but why? But the thing is, you can't just use one, because the knife you use with the other hand, right? So it'd be there's really no purpose in having a spore knife.
You don't know.
How are you gonna cut something and then hold it down with the fork?
Maybe you don't need to hold it down. Just
if it's a steak, you're gonna have to hold it down.
Use your finger.
Okay, well that's why I have utensils.
Yeah.
I'd rather just have a knife.
Yeah, right here. This guy, I got one of these. One of these here, guys.
Huh.
Okay.
You got a knife,
but it's like a spoon at the other end.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not quite a
spork.
Well,
I mean, like something like that.
Something like this.
Is it a spork if it has a spoon at the other end and a fork at the other end?
I mean,
or is it only
definition?
A spork? Is it only a spork if the spoon and the fork are combined?
I mean, what's the definition? I thought it was just like something that's both a spoon and a fork.
I don't know. Let's ask Merriam.
That's not like wrong.
Let's ask Merriam and Webster
for what? What are we looking for?
But what if they have like conflicting like a definitions. I'm like, oh shit.
I don't know. We'll see.
Spork.
How long did it take Merriam to finish the dictionary?
You have to ask Webster.
They had to come up with a lot of words.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't come up with them. They just put them in a book.
Them.
Yeah. They had to define each one. decide if it's a noun or a verb.
Can you imagine like someone like when they first came up with the idea for a dictionary? Like, oh my God.
This is going to be like a book that you don't read.
It's going to be full of words.
It's going to be full of every word you can think of.
Not in Merriam-Webster's.
Oh, really? But WTF is. That's some bullshit.
Is it?
Yeah, WTF was added, wasn't it?
Are you talking about the Oxford English Dictionary?
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
Whatever.
But see, what people don't understand is like the Oxford... Isn't the Oxford... It's not really a dictionary so much as it's like the lexicon. I don't know. I don't know. Or it's like a... It's got its own subcategory in the Oxford Dictionary.
It's just a lower class dictionary.
Yeah.
Doesn't hold to the standards of Merriam.
It's a peasant's dictionary.
Yeah. That's one that the peasants would have back in the day. But the king... would have definitely Merriam-Webster.
Yes. Men of class. Men
He's like, I need a few more decent words.
Lord.
Yeah. Well, that's what that is. A peasant. Yeah. Makes sense.
The aristocratic society.
Yeah. A democracy? Pish posh. We don't need that.
Where's the king?
Yeah.
Come, gentlemen, to the club. Let us dine on steak.
And then over there, they're just, you know, they got like acronyms and shit. And they're like, you know, the peasants don't even know. They're like, WTF.
LMAO.
Well, yeah, LMAO. King's got a better dictionary.
You know, before I left,
my ass off.
I was watching Baz Luhrmann's Great Gatsby.
Why?
Man, that was a fucking, that's a thing.
It's a movie.
You need to be like in the Baz Luhrmann
picture.
In general.
Yeah, but I'm like, that's what made me realize. I'm like, I'm not really into Baz Luhrmann.
I don't think a lot of people are really into Baz Luhrmann, are they?
No.
I think he did Moulin Rouge, and then everyone's like,
I mean, Romeo and Juliet. That's what like everyone like.
But that's like the least Baz Luhrmann.
Hate Romeo and Juliet, the Baz Luhrmann version.
Yeah, I didn't really like the Baz Luhrmann version.
Moulin Rouge.
It had Pete Paulsworth. That was the only good part.
Not a big fan.
Moulin Rouge, I wasn't a huge fan.
Moulin Rouge, I wasn't. Right. Didn't we just talk about Moulin Rouge?
Yeah, because my girlfriend made me watch Moulin Rouge.
An ex-girlfriend of mine made me watch Moulin Rouge one time.
And I was like, this is weird. And then I saw that all those same like little tropes with the camera and like
everything with him is just so flashy.
Ridiculous and fast-paced.
And distracting. And,
The
Great Gatsby was not that. Like,
no,
if you read the book, it's not.
Yeah. But then when the dubstep comes on, I'm like, okay, I gotta go.
I know it's supposed to take place during the 1920s.
Yeah,
and they're listening to like Jay-Z.
I can't stop. Blah, 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 blah. I'm like, this is the Great Gatsby.
Yeah, I didn't see the movie, but when I saw the trailer, I was like, that's not gonna be good.
Nope.
It was on
Peace
AMC.
Out.
I was like,
it's on AMC.
Yeah, it's already on AMC. It's literally right before I came here. I'm like, all right, I'm out. I
don't want to do this.
Yeah.
I got things to do.
What was the other movie he did? He did Australia.
Really?
With Hugh Jackman and
Nicole
Kidman.
It looked good
Cameron.
On the surface, but...
Baz Luhrmann's Australian,
a lot of people said
right?
that about the actual continent.
Ah.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't know that.
No, it is.
But they're all criminal, so...
I still want to go to Australia one of these days.
I want to go to Australia.
Let's go for Australia's podcast.
Podfest.
Yeah. That might be a thing, actually.
Yeah, I'm sure it
they
is.
Do, yeah, I think they have Podfest there.
A lot of podcast fans from there, that's
for
sure.
Just looks so... It's so promising on the outside. You think Tobey Maguire, whatever, Spider-Man, he's got... That was another choice that was like really weird in the whole thing, because like Tobey Maguire can act for shit.
Yeah.
Unless it's like, this is...
Did you ever see the Cider House Rules? I mean, that's basically what he was. That's the type of role like he's meant to play.
Yeah, I don't remember that movie. I don't even I don't remember the book too well.
Never
Great
read the
Gatsby.
Book.
I read it, but
I've
I don't
never
remember.
Read it, actually, really? I read maybe the first. I read typical like public Florida public schools. I read maybe the first three chapters, and then we watched the movie.
Yeah.
The old 70s one with Robert Redford and Mia Farrow.
Yep.
That one wasn't that great either. I don't think The Great Gatsby should be a movie. It just doesn't work out as a movie.
Now I gotta watch. It's a short book, and I gotta read.
Yeah,
the book.
It doesn't really have like enough content to hold to be a movie. That's like enough going on.
You gotta fill in the blanks a lot, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I think. I mean, they just add more conflict and drama to it.
Yeah,
and then really drag out the scenes.
Well, speaking of books that are being made in the movies, The Martian is coming out. Well, I think when this podcast comes out, it'll probably be out already.
Not if you release it this week.
Yeah, it'll be out tomorrow if I release it when I want
but
to.
But yeah,
for all you listeners,
it'll
be out tomorrow.
Or today.
At the moment that we're talking, the day
or
after.
Or yesterday or a week ago.
Whenever you listen to it, it's out.
Yeah, I'm really excited for the movie because the author, Andy Weir, he did an AMA on Reddit recently. He was like, yeah, aside from a couple of minor subplots that they cut out, the movie follows the book very closely. And that's a good thing.
You finished the book, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I was doing a little bit of reading on the author, Andy Weir. It's really fascinating. Like, this is his first novel. Originally, he published a book online on his website for free, like chapter by chapter. Eventually, like, you know, some people asked him, hey, can you put out like a Kindle version? Mm-hmm. He was like, yeah, sure, I'll do that. But the thing is that, like, Amazon, for whatever reason, doesn't allow titles to be put on the Kindle for free. So he set it the lowest possible price for a dollar.
Wow.
And then all of a sudden, like, you know, it sold enough where it ended up in like a New York Times top five bestseller list at like a dollar price point. And from then on, he got like, you know, a book publishing deal. And also, you know, movie studios were like, you know, bidding for the film rights to the movie. And it's just crazy. Like, it's his first novel that he's written, and it just kind of blew up on him.
That's pretty cool.
Do you guys prefer to read the book first or watch the movie first? Because I'm in one camp. I don't want to see what guys you are.
I usually like to read the book first, but I do know that reading the book first can ruin the movie for me.
I think, yeah.
That's why I won't always do that. But a lot of times I'll watch a movie before I even know it's a book. And then I'm like, I want
to
read the book.
I used to think like that, but then I realized that it's just not fair to the movie to compare it to the book, because the book just has so much more room for like exposition and storytelling.
Well,
and things
yeah,
like that.
That's
the thing. Like, if like, because I come away from a movie usually being like, oh man, I want to spend more time in that universe. So like, what better way than like to pick up the book and read the book, and then you already have like the characters are kind of like painted for you, and you're placing them in these situations while you're reading the book.
And I think
prefer
it,
that way.
It depends like what the book is. I mean, there's. Like, I liked Jaws as a book, but it's a lot different than the movie Jaws, and I liked the movie a lot. And then, like...
I try to always judge the movie just by itself. Like, I just don't compare it to the book.
But there are some books that are, like, exactly the movie. Rosemary's Baby and Psycho. If you read those books, it's, like, almost word for word. Like, some of the dialogue they're saying is in the movie.
The Green Mile that I just read, it was almost word for word.
Really?
Yeah. There's the dialogue from the book is in the movie.
That's the only time I'm like...
where the movie's actually better than the book. Fight Club.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chuck Palahniuk himself said, like, yeah, the movie's better.
Really? I never read the book.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of... Yeah, what would be a... There have been some books
Watchmen.
That, honestly, I'm not even... I know a lot of people say Joseph Conrad's Heart of Darkness is a classic... book. I didn't really care for it that much.
Honestly, after watching the movie, I don't want to read the book.
But I liked Apocalypse Now a lot, and just, I don't know, just that book was not...
Didn't do it for you?
Yeah, it didn't do it for me. Mm. And there's like...
Well, it was just really boring.
It was really boring. And I've read a lot of classic literature that I like, but that one was just not for me.
It's, classic literature a lot of times is... tough to get through.
Yeah.
That's why you have things like audibletrial.com/shark.
Yeah.
I will say there's also
Martian's on there.
Stephen King, a lot of Stephen King books. Like, I never saw The Running Man, but I read the book, and the book was decent. I want to see the movie, but I heard the movie's not that great. But, like, the book started off really good, and then it kind of got crappy near the end anyway, so I'm like, it can't be worse than the book.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe it can. It could probably be really shitty.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. It's got Arnold Schwarzenegger in it, and it's supposed to be really crappy, but whatever. I'll still watch it.
What is it called?
The Running Man.
The Running Man?
It's the book that a lot of people were comparing to The Hunger Games, because when The Hunger Games came out, they're like, Stephen King already wrote a book like The Hunger Games called The Running Man. And I'm like, so I wanted to read the Running Man. I read it. It's really short, but I mean, yeah, I can see the similarities between it, because it's like a game show where people can die and stuff.
Yeah.
But other than that, they're different. People are going to have the same ideas as other people.
It's like
happens.
The same. Like, Disney already came out with a fucking Avatar. It's called Pocahontas.
Yeah, I know. And, like, I get that. Like, okay, that makes sense. But you know what? It's not like he was blatantly copying it. There's a lot that differentiated Avatar from Pocahontas to me.
You can only tell the same story. Or you can only tell...
Yeah, there's only so many stories you can
tell. Yeah.
Dude, and the fact that you found that book... on private investigator James Keyes.
Yeah.
That worked in like fucking South Florida.
South Florida.
I was like, what the hell? I've
Holy
never.
Shit. Really?
Yeah. I was like, I have never seen that book. I've never heard of that book. And somehow he had the same last name, K-E-Y-E-S, Keyes. And he was a private investigator working in Florida.
Wow.
I mean, granted, our private investigator is working in Illinois.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use Florida because we live here. But I couldn't believe that. I actually got Keyes from Halo, Captain Keyes.
Yeah.
That's actually
that's where I took it from.
Yeah, that's where he got it, too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That person did it, too. What a good name.
The book
Maybe
is pretty
you
new.
Played against him in Halo.
I wish I'm trying to remember what the book was called. It's like something hunting season or open season or something.
Really?
Yeah, just Google James Keyes.
But like when I saw that, I'm like, great. And not only that is I remember listening to a Comedy Bang Bang episode where they had an episode where they say a line of dialogue that I wrote down, but I heard the episode after I wrote it, and I couldn't believe. I thought that they copied me at one point because it was like the same bit of dialogue from episode
A little
one.
Narcissistic there. Right?
No, but it was like it was after we released it. We released it a year later. I hear that episode, and I'm like, it was the exact same dialogue.
Well, here's another one right here. That Sammy Keyes is a series of mystery novels written by. For children's, it focuses on Sammy's adventures as an amateur sleuth. The books, which are narrated in first person perspective by Sammy, involve a detective fiction,
as well as comedy.
Yeah. So something about the last name Keyes.
It's just so funny.
brings up the idea of like a
private investigator.
Yeah,
just detective comedies. Just when you hear Keyes, you're just like detective comedy.
It's time for a surprise commercial. Listen, guys, go to audibletrial.com/shark. Get yourself a free audiobook download. Any of the books that we were just talking about, you can go to audibletrial.com right now and get that book. Get it for free. And then you get a 30-day free trial. You can cancel it anytime you want. You can take that book wherever you want because you own it now. You can take it to any of your devices, Android, MP3 player, Kindle, what have you. And it's kind of like having a real book, only it's digital. I got an old 98 copy of Better Off Alone by Alice DJ that I got from Napster. That's like an old digital copy of a MP3. So you can have that in book form, which is a lot more enriching than Alice DJ, I must say. And, you know, you can go and listen to Taurus Season, or you can go and listen to The Jungle, or, you know, some kind of laborious book that you've just been putting off until now. Do it now and do the audiobook. Why the hell not? audibletrial.com/shark.
But when I saw that, I was like, really? Mm-hmm. And like, I feel like some people are going to think we copied that, but.
Yeah, he's a pretty well-known author now. I don't know why I'm blanking on the name.
I think his name was James Keyes also. I think it was James Keyes.
No, the author was like.
Oh, no, not the author.
Oh, no, I don't think it was James Keyes. It was like something else.
Are you sure? I could swear it was James Keyes.
Here it is. Taurus Season. That's what it was called.
Taurus Season.
So we're going to look that up.
Yeah.
That sounds like a Florida book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was. It's definitely a Florida book.
I think it took place in like Key West or something.
Oh, I
Keyes.
Get it. Yeah.
Even though that's his last name too.
Right. Clever.
Carl Hessian.
Written in 1986.
Oh, yeah.
Hessian. Follows the.
Brian Keyes.
Brian Keyes.
A private investigator.
Yeah,
close enough.
From Florida. Still.
Hey, maybe so he's a. James's older brother.
I should write him to be like
former reporter
show
for
up.
The Sun, now private detective.
Yeah,
like I kind of want to read the book, but then I feel like if I read the book, I don't want to subconsciously take from the book later in later seasons.
It's a comedy, and I hear it's pretty good.
Yeah, I don't want to read it because if I read it,
it's a crime fiction and a satire.
Jeez.
Oh man.
We're getting
all the same checkboxes.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I just printed out their checklist and just went through the same motions.
All right. There you go.
Whatever. It happens. People, you know, they're going to have the same ideas. It's like Ted, Seth MacFarlane's Ted, they said was a comic book in like Japan about a teddy bear that was drunk all the time and cursing.
What?
And they said that he copied it. It's like, maybe, but
that's like a specific thing. That's like a very specific coincidence, right?
Yeah.
Like a drunk teddy bear that curses and drinks all the time.
Voiced by Seth MacFarlane. Wait a minute.
What?
This
also appeared on Family Guy.
Oh, here. Whatever this guy's called. Black and white teddy bear.
Yeah, man. You can read that. whatever. People copy people.
Yeah.
As long as you're not like blatantly like ripping it off, I don't think it's a big deal. Like if you knowingly do it, like take it and then like make it very similar. I mean, that shit happens. You know how many double movies come out a year? I think we already talked about that. Like
that happens all the time, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're having two Jungle Book movies come out, one next year, the other one the year after.
Although I feel like that has like less of an excuse because that story's been around. So it's like, are they both doing the same story around this time?
No, but Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are doing a Whitey Bulger movie.
Oh, yeah.
Johnny Depp's movie got out earlier, though.
Wait, Matt Damon and Ben Affleck are doing a Whitey Bulger movie?
Yeah.
Who's both playing Whitey Bulger? Matt Damon?
Both of them.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be like a Stuck on You, like Greg Kinnear.
Matt Damon.
Yeah, but this time it's going to be Ben Affleck. They couldn't get Greg Kinnear again.
Yeah. Right.
They really wanted to do Stuck on You 2, the Whitey Bulger story. Yes. Still stuck on Whitey.
It's a big fuck you.
Yeah. But they decided to go Ben Affleck. So the crazy thing is he's actually going to be dressed as Batman the whole time.
You know, speaking of Matt Damon, he actually had like a couple pretty good interviews because he's doing press for The Martian. But like, I guess he was asked like some British talk shows, like, you know, what was it like winning that Oscar like so early in your career? And like, he gave like a pretty honest answer. Like, I'm just glad I got it over with because winning the Oscar, honestly, I'm paraphrasing here. Yeah. Winning an Oscar, honestly, it doesn't feel that satisfying as you think. Like, it doesn't fill that hole. Like, if you, like I would have sucked if I lived to, like, 80, just, like, chasing that dream. And then I finally got it. And then I realized then, like, oh, this really wasn't worth it.
That's why I don't think you should be in the movie business to win awards. You just kind of, like, if you get nominated, that's great. But there's a lot of great actors.
I don't think it just applies to Oscars, though. I think it applies to everything else. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's, like, whatever, like, achievement in your certain, in your specific field, like, it's usually not worth it.
Yeah, so don't pursue it because it's not really that good.
But also, like, on the other spectrum, I get why some actors choose certain roles and not others because they don't want to be in what they might think is not going to be a good movie.
Right.
So, like, you just choose your roles and you just hope it's a good movie. But there's a lot of great actors and actresses that are in horror movies that know they're not going to get a nomination and they can still act the shit out of that. And still not get nominated. Although there are some that do, like Sigourney Weaver for Aliens.
He also said something else that I thought was also really cool. He said, like, the less you know about an actor, the better of an actor you'll perceive them to be. Because, like, the more you know about an actor's personal life, like, the more it influences, like, you know, their perception or your perception of them when you're watching a movie. Because when you're watching, like, you know, someone like Robert De Niro, it's like, you just imagine like all the other roles he's done. He's like, oh, he's just being Robert De Niro right now.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people do that with everybody. Like, or a lot of characters.
The more of a personality you are outside of a movie, I think the harder it is for you to disappear into
like
a role.
Jim Carrey. It's like he's basically Jim Carrey in every role.
Yeah, or Samuel L. Jackson, like because he shows up on screen like, oh, there's Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah,
yeah, but does that take you out of the movie when you see somebody like that? Like
Samuel L. Jackson. I mean, honestly, that's sometimes the reason why I go see a movie, to go see Samuel L. Jackson kick some ass.
I mean, it's
fun. But I mean, when you're watching it and then you see Samuel L. Jackson, say you don't know he's in the movie and you see him, he walks on screen. Do you like you get taken out of the scene?
Well, I mean, the thing is that he's not like in someone's biopic or like a very serious drama. It's like he's in the Avengers and it's like, oh, fuck, Samuel L. Jackson's here.
He's always playing characters that requires him to be a Samuel L. Jackson type personality.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it depends on the context, I guess, is the answer. Like, if he was playing a scene where he had to do, like, a complete 180 from what we know him to be, I'm like, yeah, that would just be completely, that would completely take me out of it because I'm just like,
honestly, though, like, for
like Clooney.
Me,
like, Clooney. Like, I never, like, I can't tell you one character name from Clooney. Did he play Jack Ryan once? It's always George Clooney and Michael Clayton. He played George Clooney.
Yeah.
Doing George Clooney.
Yeah, Clooney always plays George Clooney.
Yeah.
I mean, he never really plays like a crazy. I think the only one that like really stuck out to me are like in the Coen Brothers movies, maybe like Oh Brother, Where Art Thou or Burn After Reading. He was kind of like that sex crazed.
But even then, you're like, oh, it's George Clooney.
I mean, you can still. But the thing is, like, it doesn't take me out of a movie if I see an actor because a lot of times I'll know who the actors are going in to see a movie.
I think my favorite actors are the ones who just kind of make me forget of like of who they are, like Gary Oldman, Tilda Swinton. I think maybe, well, you guys might disagree with me, but Gene Hackman. Like,
yeah. Really? I was never a big Gene Hackman fan. I liked the older stuff that he did, yeah. But his later stuff.
But Daniel Day-Lewis and Gary Oldman?
Oh, yeah.
Daniel Day-Lewis, definitely. Yeah. But that's, again, I think it's because of the parts he's picking. Like,
yeah.
Like, he's picking really oddball characters. Like, he's picking, you know, There Will Be Blood, Lincoln, My Left Foot.
He's picking stuff that are, like, in his wheelhouse that he knows he can act well with.
Right. But, like, can you see, like, George Clooney playing Lincoln? I mean...
Well, I mean, he always plays, like, these...
I can't see him playing it very well.
But he plays, like, these intense characters, like, these very intense, like, sort of... So that's always like his wheelhouse. That's what he's doing.
Like that's the thing is, I don't think you could ever really see him in a comedy.
Right.
What about Gary Oldman?
Gary Oldman has some good range, I think.
Commissioner Gordon, the guy from The Fifth Element.
I think it was, or something like that. Zorn.
Yeah.
He's good. I mean, he's
Dracula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Speaking of, but disappearing into a role like Johnny Depp as Whitey Bulger. Was like really good.
Really?
Yeah, he was really good as Whitey Bulger.
I'm just glad he's not in makeup and being directed by Tim Burton.
I'm expecting like, doing that whole thing. But
like waving his hands around and shit. Yeah.
I was trying really hard to see like the Depp in that character, like see him as like, I'm like, that's Johnny Depp. I was like trying really hard and I was like, no, man, he's just like, he's really intimidating. He was scary.
All those Pirates movies and all those Tim Burton movies has kind of like made people forget like, he's a really good actor. He's not just like a dirty pirate. Like, well, I mean, he's a dirty pirate like half the time.
Yeah, yeah.
But like the other time, he's actually a legitimately good actor.
But I'm used to seeing him as like even in the Hunter S. Thompson book. He was still playing a crazy kind of guy where he had that weird kind of accent, like that weird thing that he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I was never a big fan of Johnny Depp, but I know he is a good actor. I like him as an actor. It's just that I was never fond of a lot of the movies he picked.
Yeah, like the movie that was good, but he was great in it.
Yeah, there's like, and there are actors that I really like, but then they're not in movies. Like Kevin Spacey, I really like, but he hasn't really been in a movie that's really like captured me since, you know, American Beauty, which was 14 years ago.
I thought you were gonna say K-Pax.
K-Pax was solid.
Wow. Oh man, I was listening to an interview. Like his brother was on like local radio recently, and they interviewed his brother. His brother does like a. His brother is a Rod Stewart impersonator.
What?
Who drives a limo? Geez. He drives a limo as a Rod Stewart impersonator.
Really?
Yeah, and he says that Kevin Spacey can't do like sincere roles. Like when you have to be like a really sincere, emotional kind of role.
Yeah,
he can't do it. Like the closest he got was Pay It Forward, and that was kind of like wooden.
Yeah, yeah, I can see that. I mean, my favorite roles with him are L.A. Confidential, Seven, and Usual Suspects.
Yeah,
which none of those are even close to being like sentimental characters.
Usually, he's like a mastermind or like a smart guy.
Yeah, or like sneaky or something. Yeah,
even in what was that shitty movie?
Skeevy.
No.
What?
That shitty gambling movie that he was in.
21.
Even in that, he was good.
That.
But he was like a smart, asshole kind of guy. That's his role. That's his wheelhouse.
Yeah, I think everybody kind of has that. And I think some people can translate to other roles better. But, like, I don't know. Like, I think Robert De Niro is one of those guys that's just... He can do comedy, but...
I think he's got a new comedy out, right? The Intern?
Yeah, but that's...
Anne Hathaway. Oh, yeah. That's like a nothing to me.
Cute. That's
cute
like a show, though, that's like... Or it's like a movie that, like we were talking before. It's like a movie that in a year or two...
Yeah,
you'd be like, remember that Anne Hathaway movie? Princess Diaries? Well,
no, not really.
It was on ABC Family the other day.
Yeah. No, The Intern.
Yeah, that's right. The Intern. Yeah, you'll just forget about that. Yeah. Like, he did that fucking movie?
It's like 3 years after The Internship came out already. Like with Owen Wilson.
When's the last time De Niro did a serious role?
I mean, Silver Linings Playbook, but that was more playful.
Yeah, he was. He was playing the Meet the Parents guy.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, he did kind of like a jokey thing in Machete.
Oh, right? Yeah.
He was in Machete.
Didn't he play like the governor?
Something like that, yeah. I mean, he was in a serious role. I don't know. I'm sure he's done one.
Get him in a fucking movie with Ray Liotta and what's his face?
Just remake Goodfellas.
Yeah, just remake Goodfellas.
Get him with Paul Sorvino and Joe Pesci and just make a good movie.
Call it still Goodfellas.
Yeah, still good. Call it Badfellas. Yeah. Oh, now they're on the other side.
No,
I don't know what
Joe Pesci been up to?
They go to space. Space gangsters.
Space gangsters.
Just like when
space fellas.
Space fellas.
They're trying to bury like a dead guy in moon dirt and they're just floating away.
Fuck you. I don't know how to put it.
I don't know. Joe Pesci. Yeah, Joe Pesci's gone away.
He's gone away.
He's probably just retired.
He might be. Because I don't think he's done anything recently. Yeah, dude, I think I was watching. Probably shouldn't even say this. I watched Hotel Transylvania 2.
Oh,
just
nice. About that one.
How was that?
Just because. Yeah. But I went with some friends. They wanted to see it.
Sure.
I didn't want to
see
it.
Yeah. Okay.
No, Jesus. You were there by yourself.
The amount of times I
like
hate on Adam Sandler,
like
I'm not
going to
choose that one.
You saw it by yourself on a Tuesday afternoon. It was like 2 o'clock.
Right.
Right.
Gone
right.
Fishing was like the last one.
Ooh, him and Danny Glover. That classic.
Lethal Weapon 4.
No.
The Good Shepherd, Love Ranch. Those were his last three. Four
Love years. Ranch was the last one. That was the one about the Playboy bunnies or whatever with Helen Mirren.
But he hasn't really been in anything big.
Go look up Hotel Transylvania 2 real quick. Because Mel Brooks, I think, voiced a character in it. And I didn't think he was acting anymore. I could swear it was his voice.
Mel Brooks just was on the he was on the Emmys.
Yeah, but does he still act?
Sandler was in this movie as a director.
Yeah, he's the main character.
Christ.
Yeah.
Andy Samberg, Selena Gomez, Kevin James. Oh, the usual suspects from a Sandler film.
Yeah. Mel Brooks was in it.
And Mel Brooks.
He was the grandpa. I didn't think he still acted.
Let's see what he's been in.
Because I haven't seen him in a long time.
Man.
He's working on Spaceballs 2, man.
Sandler.
I wish.
you know, Pixels like doubled its box office gross overseas?
Yeah.
Or its box office, or its budget.
Right.
Yeah.
Fucking A, man.
It's
that guy's
still,
just going to keep making movies.
Did you see Pixels?
No, fuck no.
It was bad.
Yeah. No, I was at the screening with you, Robert. Like, when the credits came on, you asked me, like, so what was it? And I just looked at you and, like, I'm going home.
Yeah.
I just walked straight out.
Yeah, that movie, that wasn't the greatest.
That movie was so bad.
It grossed
so
$234 million on an $88 million budget.
Why?
And see, it's the overseas.
Overseas.
It's an action movie that's overseas.
And it's really pretty.
It's just
pretty.
Okay,
it's colorful.
Worse,
looking.
Pixels is worse than your average Adam Sandler movie because of the fact that it took a really cool concept and just fucking threw it out the window.
It could have been like a decent. It could have been a decent, funny movie.
Listen, we're of the generation that grew up playing video games, so a movie that kind of is supposed to be a love letter to kind of the first generation of video games that turns out to be crap. It just felt like it was just a big middle finger from Adam Sandler to all of us. I'm just like, fuck this.
It's like. It just doesn't make
Kevin James was the president of the United States in this movie. That
alone.
That is a true statement.
That movie, it was boring. It wasn't funny.
The jokes fell flat.
There was hardly any action. Like when there would be like an action scene every like 15 minutes.
The CGI was, I mean, it was okay. But for our purposes, it was fucking terrible.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Adam Sandler is still doing the same shtick where he's just like, the jokes are like making fun of fat people getting kicked in the balls and like
yelling.
Yeah.
That's it. And it's like, I don't know.
Come on already.
Yeah, that movie.
It's just any movie having to do with video games. It's terrible.
Okay, so this is what I was thinking for Horror Play. Because we're coming up on Halloween, and for Halloween last year for Horror Play, we did just like a bonus episode where we just recapped all the horror games. I think this year we should watch Resident Evil, Silent Hill, and Alone in the Dark, the movies, and then just talk about
review them.
Just review them.
God damn it.
I just want like three big franchises, just watch the movies, and then talk about how great they were.
What was the other one? Alone in the Dark.
I think.
And, oh,
well, I mean,
Silent
we
Hill.
Can. I'm sure that we've played other ones that have movies, but I just think Resident Evil and Silent Hill would be good ones because those are long running franchises.
Yeah.
But also like Alone in the Dark because I know it's gonna be so bad.
Oh.
It's gonna be
Is
so bad.
Is
it
the one with Paris Hilton?
No, it's Tara Reid.
Tara Reid.
And Christian Slater. So
oh yeah,
that
yeah.
all star and oh, what was his name? The guy who's like a like I always thought
it has
of him
nothing
as
to do
Ethan Hawke. He's like the poor man's Ethan Hawke. Stephen Dorff.
Ethan Hawke.
Stephen Dorff is the poor man's Ethan Hawke.
Ethan Hawke, though, is a guy that disappears into roles a lot.
I like Ethan Hawke.
You're like, oh shit, Ethan Hawke's in
there. He does like a lot of horror movies. Like, he does a lot of like those
B
horror movies.
The movies he does of Richard Linklater, the before movies.
I've never seen those.
They're pretty good. They're honestly, like, they're not movies that I admit to liking.
Yeah.
But like, they're very like they're romantic kind of dramas, but in a very intellectual way. Like it's not like cheesy. It's very thoughtful, like conversations about just romance and relationships.
Holy
and it's
fuck.
Very
yeah, that's
very well
cool.
done.
I do want to see those.
I mean, it's Richard Linklater, so it's like,
oh yeah,
you know, you kind of know what you're getting.
You got
yeah.
it. I think Ethan.
Oh,
Hawke.
Is that
Mark
Ethan
McGrath?
Hawke?
Was Mark McGrath from Sugar Ray? What do we?
He just wants to fly.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Maybe Mark McGrath was really in Sinister.
Have we seen them in the same fucking room?
In the same room.
Okay, guys. So while we're on the topic of movies.
Yeah.
I think we should discuss the excitement surrounding the upcoming final trilogy of the Fast and Furious movies.
Ah, yes.
So Vin Diesel came out and said that this is going to be the last Fast and the Furious
trilogy.
Which no. His words were one last trilogy.
One last trilogy, yeah.
Which makes no sense because there wasn't a first trilogy. There's the first eight movies.
I mean,
no, there's seven, right? There's
hold
seven
on, wait,
movies.
If you think about it, so you got Fast and Furious 1, Fast and Furious 2. If you take out Tokyo Drift, because that's kind of like a side story.
That's what we're doing. We're taking out Tokyo Drift.
Fast and Furious 4, so that's like the first trilogy. Then you got 5, 6, 7. That's the second trilogy.
Yeah. There's seven movies.
Yeah.
It's not a trilogy.
I've said this in the Facebook the Facebook group, but now that they've got the Fast and the Furious Cinematic Universe established, mm-hmm. they can make the trilogy that they've always wanted.
Yeah. It was like them, like, it's like watching Iron Man and Incredible Hulk and all those guys getting really invested in those characters and then seeing them all come together
all come
in a three-part story.
You know what's crazy is that there's going to be 10 or like, 10 Fast and Furious movies. That's
right.
Two whole hands.
Yeah, that's too
many. I think
many
the only
hands.
Franchise I can think of that has more installments is Star Trek.
Bond.
Well,
yeah,
Bond doesn't count. Bond's like a weird thing.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you proved me wrong.
Yeah.
Bond's a weird thing.
Yeah,
Harry Potter, too. Harry Potter's got quite a few.
Yeah, that's technically it has seven, but they split the last one into two, so it's eight.
That's cheating.
Hey, Hunger Games did the same thing. Two-part.
That's why this is going to be a two-part finale.
I think they do a trilogy, but the last part split into two parts because it's just too much story.
So it's
story
basically
to
four
fit
more
in.
Movies.
Yeah, I think it should be four more movies.
Hey, I'm on board. I like the Fast and Furious movies.
Listen, they're okay. I get it. People like cars and people like
no. Listen,
people
it was
people,
originally
but
about cars, but it just transitioned slowly into a full out action franchise,
which is
it
fine.
Does action very well.
Right.
I mean, it's not supposed to be believable.
No,
I don't know
I'm
what
fine
you want.
With that. I'm fine with that. It's just it's enough.
No,
it's just enough.
Cut it out.
I'll watch two more Fast and Furious movies.
Listen, if I was alive during the Roger Moore years of Bond, I probably would have said this. Let's stop. Let's just stop right now. Like Octopussy comes out, I'm like, we've seen our fair share of Bond, but they rebounded. So like they rebounded. I was like, all right, you give them a, like I was born during the Brosnan age. Oh, Goldeneye comes out. All right, maybe there's a few more years left in it.
Yeah.
Then Die Another Day. Cool. Let's just
Robert was
Bond's
born saying,
done.
"All right, let's try this Brosnan guy."
Let's try this. No. I was 5 years old walking into that theater.
This Craig guy, though.
This Craig guy,
he's
and
okay.
they rebounded.
It's up and down.
Do they just replace the Paul Walker, Vin Diesel characters, and just keep it as like an anthology kind of deal? Or?
God, I hope not. I think that's what they're going to do with Mission Impossible, though. Tom Cruise is going to be too old to play that role anymore. But they make too much money.
The thing is, the only reason that franchise is a movie or they made movies in the first place because Tom Cruise wanted to make a Mission Impossible movie.
Yeah, but they make like a lot of money now, so like I can't. Well, see one the could studios... argue
that like Tom Cruise is the main reason they made so much money.
No, that's true. But you don't think that if he stopped at the studios,
people will
won't
pay to see
one?
Tom Cruise hanging off the side of a plane.
It's in the trailer, bro.
Yeah,
but they did replace Bourne. Like Jeremy Renner was in.
That's right. Yeah,
yeah, but Bourne. Matt Damon's coming back for the new Bourne
exactly,
movie.
Because...
So...
is he really?
Yeah, yeah, he is.
The fuck?
It's gonna be Bourne 5. Matt Damon's
oh,
coming
Jesus,
back.
Jesus, Matt Damon.
Directed by Paul Greengrass.
Oh, well, so, okay. Man.
Just a little shaky cam.
What do actors think about that kind of stuff? Like,
as long as they get paid. I'm
yeah,
pretty
money,
sure they
money.
Probably.
Give me that money.
Because, like, Vin Diesel wasn't in Too Fast, Too Furious or Tokyo Drift. I mean, he was in the very end, but spoiler. But, like, he's not in those, and then now he's, like, back, and now it's like, now we can really do this.
Well, back then, they weren't making
as... like, true.
Like,
back then, they weren't making as much money as they are now.
Yeah. Now so. They can just print money.
Yeah, yeah, but they didn't even make, a, like... But even then, they were still making enough to warrant another one. So they were going to make another one regardless. Because yeah. Too Fast, Too Furious came out after the first one. The first
well,
one
this
wasn't...
is during a time when Vin Diesel was still kind of wanting to make his own type of movies, like the Chronicles of Riddick. And,
yeah.
Yeah.
Triple X.
Yeah.
But that's another thing is, I don't
he wanted
think
to
Vin Diesel...
himself as an action star. When he was in Fast and Furious, he wasn't like the main star. He was just a co-star, part of an ensemble cast.
He was living in Paul Walker's shadow.
And then
that
he was
huge
in
huge shadow. Cast.
Yeah, 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 that huge Paul Walker
how
shadow.
How you like them apples, bro?
But Vin Diesel was in Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick.
It's pretty good movies.
I
like Pitch
I only
Black.
Liked the first one.
Yeah,
Pitch Black was okay. There were some parts to it that were really dumb, but I liked it for what it was. Chronicles of Riddick, I didn't like.
Yeah,
they ran away from the sun, and again, like, I just don't like when people run away from stuff like that. The
really?
Sun, the wind. It just reminds me of that South Park episode where they're like, they're running away from global warming and like global warming's coming down the street and it's just, you see the camera going and this guy like trips. He's like, no! Nah! Like, and the camera just like zooms up on him. He's like, nah, nah! It's just, I don't know. I just can't wrap my head around that stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's a, it is what it is. But is now it, he's coming out with the Witch Hunter. That,
the last or, Witch Hunter.
That doesn't even... That looks like nothing. It looks, again, like nothing to me.
I'm going
to
watch it.
I'm not going to watch it. I'm not going to watch it. I'm not doing a midnight screening of that.
I want to watch it, and I'm going to like it.
Why?
You would. I just... I can't... That's not even a movie. It's like The Sorcerer's Apprentice with fucking
it
Jay Baruchel.
Like,
I
mean, no. I'm not saying...
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's going to be a good movie. I'm just saying it looks like a movie so bad that you can't help but have fun watching it. So,
but it's not like...
I mean, look at Vin Diesel there. He's got like the beard and the
but
ponytail.
The braided beard and no
yeah.
less.
Why not? He's going all in.
But
why shouldn't
even,
I go all in as well?
It doesn't even look campy enough to be fun.
It does. What do you mean?
That
look
does
him.
Not look campy.
Look
it was like the Green Inferno. Green Inferno was trying to be campy and it wasn't. It just wasn't campy enough.
I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, you are, and I'm not going to watch it.
Oh, look at that.
Look at what?
Vin Diesel just looks weird with a beard.
He looks weird in general.
Actually, he just looks weird having hair.
That's true.
He looks like The Rock a little bit.
Michael Caine's in this.
You've got to.
Like, what's the highest possible Rotten Tomatoes score this movie can get? Because you know
like,
it's not going to be above a 60.
Like 30.
Wait, what? There's a car? What the fuck? What?
It's a future. He goes. He
listen,
like,
he's an immortal.
He goes back to the past. Or
he's
something.
An immortal, so he lives throughout the ages.
But he has like to fight one more witch, I guess. Or no, he's the last witch hunter.
He's the last witch hunter.
So how many witches?
The witches
are
in plenty of supply. Yeah, so yeah. It's just.
Oh
him.
Shit! It's Frodo.
Yeah.
They got Frodo. Well, this looks like I'm seeing it.
I want to watch it.
Yeah. Nah. I don't, Jesus. I don't know.
Listen, man, they can all be Oscar nominees.
Hey, man, I watch Hotel Transylvania 2. I know that. Okay? Like, I'm aware. But that looks like, I don't know. For me, like, I guess I'm just not a big action movie person.
You gotta
like, have... I can watch a shitty, like, horror movie, but I can't watch a shitty action movie.
I can.
It's just so hard for me.
Yeah, I love them.
I can only watch a building explode so many ways. I need, like, something else to it. Even Expendables was just boring to me.
But every now and then you come across a shitty action movie that turns out to be so bad it's good. Con Air is the example I always use.
Yeah, I mean, there are ones out there that are...
That movie was so bad, you can't help but love it.
He fucking jumps. He blows apart the bone demon with a shotgun and jumps through it.
We're talking about the new Fast and Furious movie.
Yeah, that's what we're watching.
Yeah. No, this is the Last Witch Hunter trailer.
Good for the Last Witch Hunter, man.
You know what I don't like about this trailer is that he's an immortal, which is obvious. So, like, throughout the whole movie, it's like...
Yeah, there's going to be no...
There's no tension.
Oh, I'm sure they'll have something like, if he doesn't kill this witch by the last sun of the falling rocks, then, the rest of the earth will be destroyed by the black demon magic that comes out of her.
Yeah.
Look, it's Highlander rules. If you cut the head off, you're no longer immortal. You're dead.
Yeah.
So.
You ever watch the old Return of the Living Dead with the naked girl that just walks? She's naked like the whole time.
No, I never saw that one.
You never saw that?
I saw the first one, Night of the Living Dead.
No. This wasn't a Romero one, but they took... It was like the one where they actually shout brains.
Hmm.
Like they actually... Like the zombies become zombies.
Return of the Living Dead?
It's called Return of the Living Dead, but it's not a sequel to the Romero films. It's like its own thing.
So this came out like after.
Right.
Oh, this is so 80s.
Yeah. It's definitely 80s. But here's the thing is like...
Paul Savini fucking makeup effects.
Tom Savini.
Same thing.
But see, like, the zombies in this were... It was kind of weird. Like, they don't know how to kill them, right? And they think, like, shooting them in the head. But it turns out, like, that doesn't work. Like, the only way you can kill them is if you burn the whole thing.
Right.
Like, if you cut off their head, they're still alive. You can cut off their arms and everything like that, they're still alive. So that's interesting. That would... Now, that's a zombie invasion that would really suck.
Yeah.
You can't kill them unless you burn them.
So she's just, like, naked the whole time?
She's naked the whole time.
Huh.
Well, what happens is she, like, gets naked and does this dance while all these teenager guys in, like, grunge outfits or, like, black outfits are, like, chilling out, smoking and drinking near a graveyard. She gets naked, dances around, and then she gets bit, and then she's, like, a zombie
Patient Zero.
Lady. Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
But she's naked the whole time, yeah?
Oh, naked.
Or pretty much the whole time.
Oh, nice.
That's her as a naked zombie.
Nice.
Cool.
Yeah, she looks good.
Titties.
It's interesting.
80s. I love the 80s.
I just thought it like that. No, that would suck. Can't just cut off the head there.
Yeah. Flamethrowers would be a hot commodity, I imagine.
Oh, yeah.
85.
They had a sequel to it, too.
Yeah.
Did Tom
Savini? Both of them suck.
Did he do the fucking makeup?
Maybe. Tom Savini.
That guy pretty much made is the reason why 80s horror movies look the way they do. His practical effects.
Yeah, I actually like it.
Yeah.
Dude, practical effects, man. I know people are like, there is really good CGI out there too, but practical effects, they hold up a lot better.
Savini effects. Oh, he did the werewolf in American Werewolf in London.
That was the first one, right? American Werewolf in Paris was the sequel?
I think American Werewolf in Paris was the sequel, I believe.
I saw the London one. There's like a love scene where they like make out to Van Morrison's Moon Dance.
How lovely.
Yeah. It's like, I think that's the movie I'm thinking of where they make out for like three minutes to like the whole song pretty much. Mm. They're just like rolling around in bed. That movie was okay.
Yeah, it was.
I think they're having a...
I've never seen it, but yeah.
Halloween Horror Nights. It's going to be one of the haunted houses.
Look at what? That. Look at that.
American Werewolf in London.
Really?
Yeah.
That's cool. I know they got like a lot of movie-themed houses this year. Insidious.
Insidious, that, Walking Dead.
Ugh. Is that
they
really...
They always have Walking Dead.
No,
though.
The thing is there's always like a zombie area. It's just... It just so happens Walking Dead just happened. Fits perfectly into that.
I remember one of the years I went that when The Walking Dead first came out, they did it in like a barn. Like it was like the second season.
Yeah.
A lot of it was the barn. Then the last time I went, it was the prison. Like they did the prison.
Oh, really?
So at least they're changing the scenes.
Maybe they'll do a town. This
yeah. So they might do like a town. I don't know.
Are you going again this year?
Yeah, I'm going to go.
You doing an Express Pass?
I don't know yet.
I'll only go if you're doing an Express Pass.
I'm going to go on a Wednesday.
A Wednesday?
Can you go on a Wednesday?
I probably could. If you let me know ahead of time. But no, seriously, for those of you don't know,
I might do Express Pass.
For those of you don't know who've never had the fortunate experience of going to Halloween Horror Nights in Orlando, it's a very popular like attraction. It's basically they turn Universal Studios after closing hours.
Yeah,
they turn they bring out all these haunted houses, and it's very, very well done. But the lines are crazy long.
They are.
We're talking like 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
That's not an exaggeration. So the reason why I want to do an express
pass.
But
on a Wednesday.
You don't know. It was so
listen, bad. I'm going to see. I'm going, like, we're going with some people, so I want to see if they're going to get the express pass too, because I want to make sure. But if you go and you get it, then I'll just get it, and then I'll just meet up with them afterwards.
Okay.
If you go, I think it's the 21st we're going.
Next month?
Of October, yeah.
Okay. Just let me know, like, for sure.
Okay.
It's crazy. Like, 2 or 3 hours is, like, the average.
Yeah,
like,
because a lot of people only get to go to, like, some of the houses. But last year, I did do Express Pass, and we got to hit all of them.
Yeah. It's kind of a ripoff, because, like, the Express Pass is, like, basically paying for a second ticket.
It is. I think it might even be more expensive than, like, a Wednesday night ticket. Because I think a Wednesday night ticket for a Florida resident is, like, $40,
mm-hmm.
45 maybe. And then, like, the Express Pass is, like, $70 or $80.
Ugh.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know for sure, though. I'd check the prices. You could probably get discounts, too, because Coca-Cola and them always do. Like, Burger King does special passes. I just went to Hollow Scream at Busch Gardens. And, like, I hit most of the haunted houses. But Busch Gardens doesn't even change the haunted houses. They only added one new one. I went on all the ones last year.
So it's the same.
It's the exact same.
Yeah,
houses.
That's what you get at Busch Gardens.
I love this time of year. I just love Halloween.
I like Halloween.
Although it's weird because I hate dressing up in a Halloween costume, but I love Halloween. I don't know how that works.
Kyle's looking up the Black Burger from Burger King.
See the Black Whopper?
Oh. Yeah,
I want to try
that.
It.
Just how looks does that so work? Weird.
So the bun is just dyed black,
and the cheese. I think
is that supposed to be like?
No, that's you're thinking of the Japan one.
Oh, okay.
In Japan, or I think it's China, they had like a black burger where it's like they dyed it black.
Why would you dye it black though? Like, it doesn't look tasty. It looks burnt.
Yeah, it doesn't look appetizing.
Yeah, it doesn't. Just so you can eat something that's different.
Oh, guys, I don't know if you guys noticed, but McDonald's just started our all day breakfast.
Oh yeah.
Menu.
Oh, but Adam told me about this. Like, it varies. It's not going to be the full menu.
Right.
Some locations are only going to have McMuffins. Some locations are only going to have biscuits.
Well, I must have lucked out because I went to McDonald's for lunch today, and they had the full breakfast menu available.
Hmm.
It was awesome.
Interesting.
I didn't get anything because I didn't want
to. Why did they do it so late? Why didn't they do that a long time ago?
I'm pretty sure it's some type of practical reason, like maybe some type of supply issue or something.
I just always liked, like, at 10:30, like, boom.
Done.
Fuck
no,
you.
No
fuck
breakfast.
Fuck yourself.
Yeah. But it's before noon. It's still technically morning.
Dude,
what are you doing here?
I remember, like, getting in line one time, and the person in front of me was taking a long time, and, like, I was right behind them, and they were ordering, and the lady came out and, like, switched the sign, and... they're like, no, wait, can we get breakfast? Like, we're in line, like, we're ordering right now. She's like, all right, you better hurry up. So, like, they order breakfast, right? And she's, like, turning the sign around so it displays the lunch menu. So then I pull up, like, right after them. I'm like, yeah, I can get breakfast still, too. She's like, no, you can't. It's switched. I'm like, there's nobody else behind me, like, in the line. And I went, yeah, but I'm, like, the last. There's nobody else. I had to wait for them.
Nope.
They took, like, 5 minutes to order.
You're not special,
like,
Robert.
But that's bullshit. When does the clock just fucking tick, and then all of a sudden everything that cooks fucking morning food
time is money, Robert. Time is money.
It goes into a pit.
Jesus.
Yeah, all the stoves that cook the fucking eggs just kind of disappear below the fucking store.
What you don't know is that any unsold Egg McMuffins before 10:30,
yeah,
they just sit there. But after 10:30, they all explode.
They just...
It's like, oh, shit.
You have to clear the restaurant.
Shit. Everyone out of the kitchen for 5 minutes.
They finally just came up
with
a recipe that doesn't cause the McMuffin to explode after 10:30.
It's kind of weird. You think they would start off with that recipe.
Yeah. It's trial and error.
It takes a while to figure out, man.
I remember that Jerry Seinfeld joke, like, on Seinfeld where he said, why do they come... He's like, what kind of shit, like mouthwash or something like that? And it was, like, a certain type. And he's like... Oh, what flavor is that? She's like, strawberry. He's like, oh, that's cool. And she's like, I didn't want to get the original. He's like, why don't they just come out with strawberry first? He's like, nobody ever wants the original or something. They want the flavors. Come out with the flavor first and then come out with original. See if people want it then.
You know what's funny? Taking it back to McMuffin. Now that breakfast is available all day at McDonald's, I don't think people are going to want it as much anymore.
good.
Because you always want
more for me.
You always want what you can't have.
When you wake up early enough to get McDonald's breakfast,
that's a special occasion.
Awesome.
You feel like you just achieved something. Like, fuck yeah.
You just met a goal.
Yeah, like, seriously. Well, I could just fucking take it easy for the rest of the day.
That's true. The whole forbidden fruit thing. I think like that really drives people.
Oh, my God. How many times have we had a craving for Chick-fil-A on Sunday?
Oh, dude, every time, man.
It's like, you fuckers. You know what you're doing.
I get scared now. Every time like I want Chick-fil-A, I'm like, I could really go for Chick-fil-A. I'm like, oh, shit. What? No, it's Tuesday. I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm going to go get some Chick-fil-A.
I don't know if I've probably said this before, but like in Tallahassee, the Chick-fil-A up there is open till 2:30 in the morning on Saturday nights. It is packed. The drive-thru literally circles around the whole block because everybody knows, like, you're not going to get any Chick-fil-A tomorrow.
So stock up, guys.
Seriously.
You got a day of no Chick-fil-A. Yeah. They, stock up on those spicy chickens.
But they're always busy. But, like, the logistics of Chick-fil-A is incredible. Like, I go to the one by USF, which is, like, always fucking jamming, no matter, regardless of time of day, always jamming. And they always have... There's always two lanes open with like a person at the front that'll like also take your order, and then like a person like primary to like take your money, and then you go get your food. It's like it's pretty cool the way they do it.
It's tasty chicken. It's tasty homophobic chicken. It's tasty anyway.
Yeah. The reason why it's not open on Sunday is because of Jesus.
Yeah.
Look, if PDQ dropped their prices by like a dollar or so, I'd be in PDQ all the time. But
PDQ is
so
good.
PDQ is really good, and you know,
cost you an arm and a leg.
They're a little too pricey for me.
They are.
Yeah.
I need low price.
But they're open on Sundays, so if you don't want Chick-fil-A, just drive a couple more blocks, PDQ. Take a left, and hit PDQ.
I just like their meal doesn't fill me up. I need like a meal and like a supplemental thing. But then like if you get the tenders, it's like a whole another thing. It's just that's too much for me.
Yeah. I get a meal, but I get like the apples instead of the fries now. I'm kind of over their fries. Really? It's not like a healthy choice on my part. I just don't want the fries.
Fries at any fast food place aren't that... They're kind of average.
Waffle fries or checker fries?
I'm not even big on the waffle fries.
Checker fries.
Yeah. Checker fries are good, but like, I don't know.
You can't eat
ever
that too
since
often,
I saw
though.
That dirty dining for Checkers, the one on 34th Street. I know, but Checkers just always look so gross.
It does.
Every
fast food restaurant I go to, I always like assume like, well... There's probably a little bit of spit.
Maybe a cockroach crawled over my meal at one
Whatever.
Point.
Whoever serves the tastiest rat feces.
I go into Chick-fil-A and I'm like, you know what? I bet you a roach didn't walk over my sandwich.
Yeah, Chick-fil-A is the exception.
Yeah, but even like, I don't know. Like, you can hit a McDonald's that's pretty shitty every once in a while, but there's certain ones I'm like, this one's all right. But I think if on the totem pole, fucking Checkers is at the bottom of cleanliness.
Fuck Checkers.
I would say it's Checkers, then maybe like...
PDQ is very clean.
Yeah. No, I would say Chick-fil-A, PDQ is up there. Taco Bell is kind of low.
In-N-Out's not that clean.
In-N-Out wasn't that clean.
When we went, like, you had like a good view of the kitchen. You could see like there's grease like all over the kitchen floor.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just like, well,
I think it's
I'm
just
because
they're too
the
busy. They're just too busy.
That's true.
Jack in the Box isn't really clean. I would say Chick-fil-A and PDQ are at the top. On the cleanliness.
Taco Bell's hit or miss. I've been in some really clean Taco Bells. I've been in some really dirty Taco Bells.
But I've been in a lot of Taco Bells where they don't use gloves.
I've been to a lot of Taco Bells, and usually it's at like 1 or 2 in the morning, so I don't give a fuck.
That's true.
Yeah.
And you're drunk.
I'm drunk.
Yeah.
Just get tacos. Yeah. I just hope it's right.
That's the biggest complaint with Taco Bell is it's fucking wrong so many times.
The last like 4 or 5 times I've gotten an order so big where it's like, fuck it, let's just go. They've been right.
Really? Yeah. A lot of times I'll just reach in the bag, and if I can count how many items I have, sometimes it'll be the wrong item, but at least I get something.
As long as they give me hot sauce, like, I'm okay. Like, I don't care what you give me. Like,
no.
I ordered a burrito and you gave me like 2 tacos. That's fine. Just give me like the sauce.
Get the big. If like I'm getting a Mexican pizza and a nachos and one of those two things are missing, it's a problem.
Yeah, dude.
It's Taco Bell. You gotta have like a lower standard here.
Yeah, but we were all drinking at Michael Manning's house one time, and I remember we were hanging out there, and then everybody's like, "Let's go get something to eat," and I didn't drink that much or something, and I was like, they're like, hey, have Robert drive. And I was like, nah, I'm not that hungry. And then everyone's like, come on, Robert, we're all drunk, please drive. So I was like, fine. So I drove. So we get there, right? I order like three things, like two different tacos and then like nachos with cheese. And then everybody else orders their stuff. We drive all the way back to Michael's house. We open it up. I'm the only one who didn't get their order. And I'm like, well, fuck. Like, I didn't even want to go. I wasted my gas. And now I have to go back to get my shit that I wanted because I spent money on it. So I drive all the way back. I think Jen went with me. We went back to the Taco Bell. And then I tell them they forgot my order. So they go, okay. So they give me the food. And I start driving away. And then I'm like, wait, check the order. So she checks, no nachos with cheese. So I do a U-turn on 4th Street, go back into Taco Bell. I go, you forgot my nachos with cheese. Oh, sorry, man. Sorry, we didn't mean to. Drive back up to the thing. They give me another bag. And like right when I'm about to pull out, I go, wait a second. I look, no fucking cheese. I'm like, dude, just fuck, man. Like, no, Jesus Christ.
They're putting your order together one ingredient at a time. One.
I was like, I was so fucking pissed at that point. I had to drive back around the building to go back. I'm like, they go, can I take your order? I'm like, cheese. I just want the cheese. And then I drove up to the window like, oh, man, I can't believe we forgot that, too. I'm like, yeah. Oh, my God. That was like the worst. Yeah. I was so pissed that night.
Taco Bell, that one's notorious for that, too.
Yeah, that one on 4th Street.
On 4th Street.
So shitty. The one over here is not too bad.
Yeah, I like that one. It's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's get out of here.
Okay.
It's time to get out of here. Everybody go check out our new podcast, sharkdropper.com, End of All Hope, and Snubbed, now available for you to listen to. Donate some money to us on Patreon if you're feeling frisky. Rate and review us on iTunes. I don't think that's it.
You don't have to feel frisky to do it.
You don't have to feel frisky.
You can, but if you feel, I mean, if you want to like play with yourself while you're donating,
just don't tell us about it.
No, or tell us.
Or let us know.
Let us know. Tweet us at Shark Trapper.
I'm actually genuinely interested if you're playing with yourself and donating to us at the same time.
Right.
Yeah. So shout us out if you're.
You think people are playing themselves donate higher on average?
How often do you donate and play with yourself?
Like the donating part, like I gotta say zero.
But you are constantly playing with yourself. Yeah.
If I donate every time I was playing myself, I'd be broke.
Right?
Well, I'd have no money.
You'd need somebody to donate to you.
Yeah. Don't be like John. Don't be like John. Donate when you play with yourself.
Wise words. Wise to words. End on.
All right, that was Shark Trapper. I'm Kyle.
I'm Robert.
I'm John.
As I stand here looking out over the ocean. Want to cause a great big commotion. 'Cause when I saw what looked like a fin break through the surface again, it was a shark.
We're above the target. T-minus 5 seconds till shark drop. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Drop the shark. Go, go, go.
This podcast is a Shark Dropper Studios production.